You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
Senator Schumer, who has also talked about court packing, has been telling anyone who will listen that we should not fill this vacancy because it's an election year. The constitutional provisions on filling a Supreme Court vacancy are unaffected by the electoral calendar. And I want to make it clear, we're going forward. And anyone who thinks Senator Schumer would not do the same thing if the shoe were on the other foot, probably also believes Jimmy Hoffa died a natural death.
The common sense thoughts of Senator John Kennedy of Louisiana, Republican, of course, and pointing out that he thinks, you know, we've got people that just aren't going to understand what happens here. And he says, if you think the Democrats would not also be rushing forward if they had both the White House and the Senate, they certainly would. Now, of course, they want to point back to 2016, the Democrats, that in 2016, when Obama was trying to fill the Scalia position, the Senate would not even give a hearing to Merrick Garland. I think that was a mistake on behalf of the Republican Senate. I think they should have gone ahead and done it. Should have at least given a hearing. We knew it was going to be voted down, but go ahead and do it. But they took the position that, no, we're going to let the next president decide, which I agree with. I agreed with it then. I still actually agree with it now, that the next president should decide. I'm not changing my mind just because it's a different political scenario today. But I will tell you, things are different, and I certainly wouldn't fight what the Republicans are trying to do. I would ideally like to see the election go through, Trump win again, maintain control of the Senate, and then they do it. But when a president has a chance to fill a vacancy on the Supreme Court, they do not want to waste and use or lose that opportunity. We're going to get into that in more detail. We're going to be joined by Thomas Jipping, a Supreme Court expert, on how fast can you actually get someone approved for the Supreme Court. We're now just about 40 days out from the election. Could it be done before then? You'll be interested in what Jipping has to say. And, of course, we're going to talk about the tactics that the Democrats are employing, legal tactics, tactics in the House, and I should say in the Senate, where they're going to try to stall and redo things, and the tactics from the House under Nancy Pelosi that maybe they'll try to impeach Trump again or the Attorney General Barr so they can send articles of impeachment to the Senate and state that you need to deal with this first instead of a nomination. But it's more than just that. Those are parliamentary procedures and efforts. We all understand that's politics. But, of course, nowadays politics also involves violence. Violence. We see it in the streets constantly over several nights, and it happened again in Portland and in Seattle and elsewhere. And the Democrats, for the most part, are silent. They say nothing. We'll get into some more of the most recent violence. And then we talk about the violence actually aimed at senators who would be voting to confirm President Trump's nominee. They're talking about specific threats made against them and their families. We've already seen the ire, the vile anger that comes from some members of the left. If they don't get what they want, they do go on the personal attack. You get a young man in a restaurant, he's wearing a MAGA cap, and somebody believes that they have authority and permission to go over and yank it off his head because they don't like it. This is what we've come to in this nation. Are we going to continue to accept it? In the meantime, let me read this to you very quickly. MSNBC, Donnie Deutsch, comparing President Trump to Adolf Hitler, and also blasting any Jewish Americans who vote for him in November. Deutsch is Jewish. He said, if you're a Jew in this country and you are supporting Donald Trump, you're not looking back at our history. You are blind. You are walking like a lemming off a cliff. In other words, the Jews who support Trump and what he's done for Israel and Jerusalem and his basic support, I guess he thinks you're stupid. A lot to cover in the next 2 hours. Lock and load. Ready. On the right.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
So are you ready to get out from the COVID-19 scare? We might still need to be careful in some areas. I do encourage businesses to make sure your facility is clear of COVID-19. And of course, if you open up and then a client or an employee or someone else surfaces with COVID-19, you need to reevaluate what's going on. I would encourage you to contact Wellington Environmental. They can determine at a very reasonable cost what you need to do before you open, once you are open, and as you move forward. It just makes good sense, doesn't it? Wellington Environmental, for 30 years, has been treating situations at hospitals, schools, daycare centers, private homes. 314-644-4930. 644-4930. Wellington Environmental. Be well with Wellington Environmental. This segment of Larry Connors USA is brought to you by my friends at John Beal Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest prices. John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
Whoa, God, it was a nightmare. Lord, it was so true. They told me don't go walking slow. The devil's on the loose. Better run through the jungle. Better run through the jungle. Better run through the jungle.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
I don't believe it's a fait accompli. You have a whole bunch of Republican senators who have not taken a position. When you find the nominee, you never know what's going to be in their background, that you might find something that wins people over, even who were the other way. You know, a great metaphor for this, Rachel, is Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Against the longest of odds, she never gave up and she kept fighting. We are going to keep fighting, and she is an inspiration to us.
And there you have it, the words of Senator Chuckie Schumer, Democrat of New York. It's not a done deal. It's not a done deal that the Republicans will get their nominee through before the election or before Trump leaves office for the Supreme Court. And he says, we're going to fight. I'm going to let him tell you about some of the tactics they have in a moment. But when he says it's not a done deal and we might have some things surface on some of the candidates being named and considered, he's really stretching, because they're going to apparently, basically, try to go into an effort to destroy anyone that might be nominated. And the front runner at this point appears to be Judge Amy Coney Barrett, already a judge on the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Seventh Circuit. She had to go through a tough confirmation hearing before she got that position. If there was anything to be uncovered, it would have been uncovered then. So I think it's good that the president is sticking with those who've already faced Senate confirmation issues. The only thing, the only real attack that they could lay against Judge Barrett is the fact that she is Catholic. And they tried to use her faith against her. And in fact, when it came to the hearings, the words of Senator Dianne Feinstein questioning the Catholicism of the judge noting, quote, the dogma lives loudly within you, and that's a concern. There you have Senator Dianne Feinstein calling her Catholic religion a dogma. In other words, you just blindly follow it, you have no understanding, and you just buy it all up, and it's nothing more than maybe a trinket around your neck. But it lives loudly within you. And of course, their concern is that she is pro-life. She's 48 years old, the mother of 7 children, including 2 adopted from Haiti. And they know that if she gets on the Supreme Court, it will push more effort to take away Roe v. Wade. At least that's their opinion, their attitude right now. The other candidate being considered, Judge Barbara Lagoa in Miami. Also a lot of recommendation from her, and Trump has said she's also on the list. But when you hear Chuck Schumer say, Senator Schumer, it's not a done deal. He means that we still have ways that we can sabotage, destroy, malign, discredit, slander, slur anyone who's put in front of us for a nomination, as they did with Kavanaugh. And then you get to the parliamentary procedures and techniques and tactics. Here's Senator Schumer.
We have tactical options to slow them down. We will use every tool in the toolkit. Now, admittedly, McConnell has changed the rules, so we have fewer tools and they're less sharp. But every tool we have, we will use. Today, we delayed committees going into effect. We had the right to do that, and we did it. Tonight, we're on the floor, taking up all the time on the floor to talk about how bad this potential nominee. And there will be many other things that we can use. You'll see them in the days ahead.
So there you have it. They're not going to do any of the rest of the nation's business right now, because they're going to shut down all committee work. All the time on the floor will be devoted to this issue. Whatever they can do to stall and defeat a nomination from Trump. That's all fair game. But I also like the fact that when you look at some of the attitudes of the Democrats lately as to how they are swinging wildly, looking for some way, somehow, to control this election, be it mail-in balloting or doing away with the Electoral College, everything is in play for them. And to that extent, Congressman Jim Jordan, Republican of Ohio, said the real problem going on right now with the Democrats is that they are losing everything. He said they are losing so many things. They're losing their election. So now they're talking about we got to pack the courts, we got to eliminate the Electoral College, and we certainly cannot allow Trump to have another nominee go to the Supreme Court. And of course, if we end up having an actual election and Trump should win, they're going to fight that tooth and nail as well. Their game plan is very clear. You should not be surprised by it. And again, Nancy Pelosi, in an article with the New York Times, stated, we can impeach Donald Trump every day of the week for anything he does. And the people's business and what you need, getting your stimulus checks, getting our economy back in high gear, is going to be tossed aside, because they're banking everything now on this appointment. But it is not just the tactics and the efforts of the legislators in Congress to stall or stop or even defame a nominee. It's the vocal and very convincing threats being made by those outside Congress, those in the streets. The words of Senator Kennedy.
They're saying, if you don't do what we want, we will hurt you. If you don't do what we want, we will hurt America. We will destroy the United States Supreme Court as an institution by packing the court. Shame on them. They ought to hide their head in a bag.
Hide your head in a bag. Packing of the court, abolishing the Electoral College, and then, like I say, the threats in the streets. I read for you yesterday how some of the liberal authors, publicists, Hollywood elite are already making their points so well known, and they're not mincing any words. One of them tweeting out, if you even try to replace RBG, we will burn the entire effing thing down. Another one saying, F no, burn it all down. And of course you have Don Lemon Fruitcake of CNN making his remarks the other day that we just have to blow up the Electoral College. Which, by the way, after he makes those remarks, and then he's quoted, and the exact tape is played, he got so much backlash, he decided, I better back that up. And he falls back and says, I was taken out of context. First of all, if anyone knows about taking something out of context, it would be Don Lemon Fruitcake. And if anyone knows about taking out of context, and that there's proof that says otherwise, it would not be Don Lemon Fruitcake, because he sits there and says, I was taken out of context. In the next hour, I'm going to spend some time on that. Because this guy is like all members of the left. You put them in a corner, and suddenly it's not fair. Well, we're using your own words against you, and you still have a problem with that, don't you? Of course, we're still waiting to see what nominees Biden would put in if he's elected. And he refuses to give any names right now. He said, I want to protect them from any harassment and threats. He knows how the game is being played by the Democrats against any nominee selected by Trump. And he fears the same thing would be aimed at any nominee he comes up with. And he refuses to do it. Trump has been very open about it. And the other thing, Biden is not saying anything about turning away from the threats to encourage. If he's supposed to be a leader of his party, why is he not out there saying, you need to stop with the threats, we need to look at what we have to have done, and stop this now? And I've said before, if the Democrats are not going to stand up against something, then they're basically condoning it. And more importantly, they are complicit. They are an active part of it. So Senator Kennedy posed a position for Biden. I mean, when are you going to stand up and do something? When are you going to take a stance?
And he needs to either support or condemn his colleagues who have threatened to destroy the U.S. Supreme Court by packing it, by turning it into a bunch of politicians in robes, sort of a mini Congress, if we don't do what they want. And he needs to hit that one head on.
But he's not, because he wants that to be in play. He wants to talk about anything we can. Be it threats in the street to burn it down and physically threaten members of the U.S. Senate and their families, or use tactics, as they might call them, parliamentary procedures, but basically they're scrambling, trying to find a game plan when they can see the writing on the wall is not going to be good for them. If we're going to have a battle over a Supreme Court justice, that's nothing new. We understand that. And we saw just how vile and vicious the left could be when it came to Kavanaugh. They had no compunction whatsoever, basically labeling him with false information, but still labeling him a serial rapist during his confirmation hearing in front of his wife and children sitting behind him. And now, if they go after Judge Comey Barrett, I don't think it's going to win them any favors whatsoever, and it still will not stop an appointment from going through, because it appears clearly that there will be more than enough votes at this time. We have a couple of other issues in play right now, and that is some bribery actions involving money and getting felons to vote, and also more news being pushed forward about Burisma and Joe Biden's son, Hunter. That's coming up. Stand by, please.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
And they say you don't tug on Superman's cape. You don't spit into the wind. You don't pull a mask off an old Lone Ranger. And you don't mess around with Jim. I don't do that.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
All right, let's briefly cover a couple of scandals going on, at least questions about a possible scandal. Under Florida state constitution, convicted felons can regain their voting rights after they serve their time. But a law enacted by Republican Governor DeSantis states felons have to pay all fines, restitution, and other legal financial obligations before their sentences would be considered fully served. Now we've got Michael Bloomberg coming forward and says, we know we need to win Florida. We need to persuade, motivate, add new votes to the Biden column. Means we need to explore all avenues. Michael Bloomberg might be setting up a fund that would pay fines for felons who have been released so they can then have their way, they have their right to vote. And to that extent, House Judiciary Committee Matt Gaetz, Republican of Florida, says we might need a full election bribery probe of Bloomberg.
In the moments before the show, Sean, I spoke to Florida Attorney General Ashley Moody. She says she is all over this. In fact, I believe there may be a criminal investigation already underway of the Bloomberg-connected activities in Florida. Chapter 104.061 Florida statute says that it is a third-degree felony for someone to either directly or indirectly provide something of value to impact whether or not someone votes. So the question is whether or not paying off someone's fines and legal obligations counts as something of value, and it clearly does. If Michael Bloomberg was offering to pay off people's credit card debts, we would obviously see the value in that. And so when you improve someone's net worth by eliminating their financial liabilities, that is something of value. And then normally it would be very difficult to prove that that was directly linked to impacting whether or not someone was going to vote. But they literally wrote their own admission, Sean, in this document that they used to go fundraise from other people. They said the precise purpose of this fund was to unlock a portion of the black vote in Florida that they believed would go 90 to 95% for Joe Biden. So in this case, I think they've written their own admission. The law is clear. This is something of value. And I am encouraged after my conversation with the Attorney General. I hope we have good law enforcement all over the country looking for the cheating and the tricks that these Democrats are going to try in this election, because I'm starting to get the sense they know Donald Trump's going to win it on Election Day.
And again, that's House Judiciary Committee Congressman Matt Gaetz, Florida, says we may have criminal charges coming. Now let me turn to the Senate Homeland Security and Finance Committees releasing an interim report that concludes that former Vice President Joe Biden allowed Hunter Biden and other members of his family to enrich themselves through links with foreign companies and governments while he was in office. And it notes the Obama administration was aware of, but did nothing about the conflict of interest. All of this, of course, involves Joe Biden's son, Hunter, appointed to the board of Burisma, a corrupt Ukrainian fossil fuel company. And they paid him big, big dollars, and he knew nothing about energy. So now you could look at that as a political action in this political election year. You're free to do that. Would say the same about Democrats, what they were trying to do with Trump. But the facts will end up being the facts. And we know that Biden and Secretary of State and Obama knew about it because Secretary of State John Kerry admitted that could be a problem. But they tried to sweep it under the rug, didn't they? All right, how fast can we appoint someone, nominate, and get them through confirmation to become a Supreme Court justice? I've got a special expert coming up.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook. This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
My guest has been with us before. Glad to have him back on board. An expert in the Constitution and the Supreme Court, Thomas Gipping of the Heritage Foundation. Tom, glad to have you back on board.
Well, thanks for having me.
Well, I tell you, there's several issues I want to get into. I do want to touch on an article, a column you penned for the Daily Signal yesterday, 2 days ago. I'll get to that in a moment. But first of all, when we watch the battle that's building now to appoint or nominate, I should say, a candidate for the Supreme Court, when we're just about 40 days from the election and the end of this president's term, there's nothing in the Constitution that says it cannot be done. And in fact, Ruth Bader Ginsburg herself had said the president just doesn't stop being president in the last month or two of his term. Go ahead, sir.
Well, that's certainly true. I mean, the president's job is to make nominations. The Senate's job is to evaluate them and decide whether to give consent. That's the default position of our system. And unless there's a compelling reason to depart from that, that's what ought to be going on today. 2 years or 4 years ago, there was a compelling reason to depart from that, so it was done differently.
But all right, let's break that down. Explain the compelling reason that made that different. Because it looks like Republicans and Democrats flip-flop compared to where they were in 2016.
Sure. Well, in 2016, Democrats said that circumstances don't matter, that absolutely the Senate must take up a president's nominees. Well, if that position was correct, then they should be supporting filling the Ginsburg vacancy now. Republicans in 2016 said circumstances do matter, and they pointed to two. They said different parties controlled the White House and the Senate, the two different parts of the appointment process, and that election in 2016 was going to give us a new president. We didn't know who it was going to be, but Barack Obama was in his second term, so we knew we'd get a new president. So those two political circumstances together, made it a better choice to defer the process. Well, neither one of those circumstances exists today, obviously. So different circumstances, it doesn't make any sense to say that different situations have to be handled the same way. So whether you were a Republican or a Democrat in 2016, your position supports filling the Ginsburg vacancy now.
Well, I'll be very clear and candid. I have been with the audience. In 2016, I said I really would like to see, as much as I wanted, Trump to be able to make that appointment and not Hillary. I was willing to say, let's let the president be decided and then move forward. I really was in favor of doing that. And I have the same opinion now, although I'm not going to fight what the Republicans are going to try to do. And this is different in the sense that we have the White House and the Senate of the same party. That's also seen in history as a dividing issue, isn't it?
Well, it is. But, of course, I don't think it's right to have what the result that we want to drive the way we do things. The ends don't justify the means here. It is the president's job to make nominations. It is the Senate's job to conduct the confirmation process. So unless there is a compelling reason, that's exactly what should happen now. And there isn't a compelling reason to depart from that. That's the default position, and that's the way it should work right up until the president is out of office. I haven't heard anybody make any argument that's compelling that we should do it differently other than, well, you guys did it differently 4 years ago, but 4 years ago was a different situation.
So let's get to the article you'd penned the other day for the Daily Signal, and the question many have asked, how fast can the Senate move? Can you actually get a Supreme Court justice confirmed quickly? Ginsburg was confirmed within 42 days, but you've got other cases that even beat her time record.
Oh, sure. The Senate or the House, for that matter, if they're really determined to do so, can be pretty efficient. And there's no rule book about how to conduct the confirmation process. The Constitution doesn't set any standards. Senate rules don't set any standard. The Senate has handled Supreme Court nominations a dozen different ways over the years. They've done it quickly. They've done it longer. There is no reason, especially since, for example, if the nominee is Judge Amy Coney Barrett, well, the Senate Judiciary Committee had a full-fledged confirmation process for her less than 3 years ago. So there's no reason why the Senate cannot do a thorough and efficient job of evaluating the president's nominees, and I believe they will.
Now, run through some of these that you laid out as to how fast some were done. I mean, one confirmed the same day, correct?
Well, yeah, there have been several. Franklin Roosevelt's nomination of James Burns, he was nominated, I think, about 4 hours, or I'm sorry, confirmed about 4 hours after he was nominated, didn't have a hearing. The process has changed a lot over the years. The Judiciary Committee hearings that we see today on television were not the norm through most of American history. It wasn't until the 1950s that those kinds of hearings where the nominee appeared and answered a lot of questions, that never happened before the 1950s. So they can do it many different ways. They can do it instantly. They can do it with a lot of controversy. It just depends on the situation. And so the Senate has to decide today, in this situation, about how it best to handle the nomination that's before them. It's a perfectly legitimate judgment to say that we're going to do our normal duty and evaluate this nominee. And in fact, you'd mentioned earlier the factor of different parties versus the same party. Some people might not think that that's a significant difference, but nearly every president in history who has made a nomination in a presidential election year and the Senate was of his own party, got the nominee appointed. Nearly every president who has done so with the opposite party running the Senate has not. So that's almost the universal pattern throughout all of American history.
Well, there are a couple of quick other issues I want to cover as to the difference now. And there used to be a time, am I correct, that when it came to personal-type questions, that went behind closed doors? It was not for public, and that added to now political climate and television and the electronic media and everything else. Well, they want it all gutted right there on the floor.
Well, there is still a portion of the process that's behind closed doors, and that's for issues that come up during, for example, an FBI background investigation that are particularly serious. But there's no way to, prevent people from lying about you. There's no way to prevent outside groups from, stirring up trouble with accusations that aren't true. All of that, given the factors that you mentioned, with communication the way it is, that's going to be part of the debate today if bad people are determined, you know, to do so. That didn't used to happen as much as it does today. And I think it really kind of demeans the process, but there's no way to avoid it if opponents of the nominee really are determined to do it.
And how much does the animus for the Trump administration play for the Democrat senators as they consider, even if it's Judge Comey Barrett, that they've already confirmed previously?
Well, you know, we at the Heritage Foundation, we've published a lot of material over the last couple of years documenting the just unbelievable off-the-charts opposition by Democrats to all of President Trump's judicial nominees. Your typical Democrat today has voted against 99 Trump judicial nominees. Your typical Republican voted against 19 Obama nominees in 8 years. So,
will you repeat those numbers again? That's
sure.
Go ahead.
The average Democrat today has voted against 99 Trump judicial nominees in less than 4 years. The average Republican voted against 19 Obama nominees in 8 years. So it's just off the charts in terms of the automatic, you know, they're fighting Trump's nominees as if they were fighting Trump himself. That's actually a very new and really destructive chapter in the confirmation process in our history. There have been individual conflicts over nominees, but it's never been that across the board, you know, solid opposition the way we have it today, even on lower court judges.
Senator Schumer has made it clear they're going to use every tactic we can. We're canceling all House hearings. I mean, Senate hearings, we're in committee meetings. All of our business is going to be focused on this. So the needs of the people are going to be put aside by the Democrat senators, not going to deal with it. And on the House side, Pelosi says we can impeach Trump each and every day and bar. And basically, if we can set impeachment in motion, then the Senate has to stop everything and deal with an impeachment indictment.
Well, Senator Schumer's position is a little bit silly because all he's doing is clearing the calendar to be able to focus on getting this nominee confirmed. You know,
yeah.
In other words, he's helping remove any obstacles to spending all of our time and getting it done even more quickly. So that's just a ridiculous position.
Well, listen,
this is, and 4 years ago he was saying exactly the opposite.
Sure. Tom, as always, I appreciate your time and your expertise, sir.
Thanks for having me.
You bet. So she can get confirmed pretty quickly, and that's what we needed to know. Thank you, Thomas Chipping. Thank you, sir. Thomas Chipping of the Senate, of the Heritage Foundation. Coming up, the violence continues in Portland, Seattle. And then in Seattle, while they're defunding police, they're paying a convicted pimp, $150,000 to serve as a street liaison for police. I'll explain when we continue.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Let me begin with some breaking news items I want to put in front of you. First of all, in Louisville, Kentucky, businesses are closing up, locking down, boarding up in case there's going to be violence. They expect a grand jury decision to be announced this afternoon on whether criminal charges will be filed against three Louisville Metro police officers involved in the death of Breonna Taylor. And so they're preparing for violence if the folks don't like the finding of the grand jury. We'll continue to follow that for you. Also, out of Paris, the Eiffel Tower shut down, cordoned off, a bomb threat called in. And, of course, a threat is a threat. It's too easy to make it, but it is causing some concern at this point in Paris. Back on the state side, during Portland protests again last night, that's right, they continue to have, the only reason they stopped some of the protests is because of the wildfires approaching and the smoke coming in. But they're back to it now because the wildfires are no longer threatening that area of Portland. And so once again, you had about 75 or more at a park where they've had previous protests. They started blocking a nearby street. Police got them to move, and then two of the protesters got into some kind of fight, and one shot the other. I guess they didn't protest for the same reason. In the meantime, Florida Governor DeSantis announcing legislation allowing his state to withhold funding from any municipality that defunds the police. That would be in Florida. In Seattle, the city council voted to override the mayor's veto of a bill that would cut police funding by about $3 million. And it would also remove as many as 100 officers from various police units. The council had said the bill was a down payment in its efforts to ultimately defund the department by 50%, which they still expect to happen next year. If you recall, the police chief, Carmen Best, retired effective September 2nd, saying, "With these cuts, I'm in a position to fail. I cannot help protect the community." So the mayor had tried to veto a bill to cut the funding, and she got overturned. They're not done with it. This issue of defunding police is going to threaten the minority communities more than others. They are the most vulnerable to crime. That's where most of the crime happens. And they are going to be victims more and more often if you start pulling police out because you don't have enough officers to be everywhere you need them. And in Seattle, they're all about trying to give money to groups they think can help do a better job than police. Now, a better job than police means that if it's a domestic issue, we might send in a psychiatrist or a caseworker to go talk to the spouses as they argue. I pity the social worker sent to do that job because domestic violence is one of the most dangerous situations for police to enter. You've already got two people angry at each other, maybe threatening each other, and then as police arrive, in a response to maybe a complaint from one, and they start to remove the other, the very one who called police then turns on police as well. But some think that's just a better way to do things. Seattle now has decided to pay a guy who admits he was his pimp. He did a documentary, American Pimp. Now, I read you the headline and the tease a moment ago. I wanted to catch your attention, obviously, but I want to give you some background. Because if you just hear me say they're going to pay him to be a street czar for $150,000, you're thinking, "What? How are they going to do that?" This guy, activist Andre Taylor, very open about his past as being a pimp, now working with the city of Seattle through his nonprofit group, Not This Time. He said he started it after his brother was killed by Seattle police in 2016. He was a critic of the Capitol Hill occupied protest. He was a critic of it. And now the city has decided to put him on board as kind of a liaison with police. You're going to give him the title the Street Czar, as part of their alternatives to policing, paying him $150,000 a year. If the man is doing what he says he wants to do and try to do that, if it really helps things, it would be money well spent if he could stop violence and so forth in the streets. And he said, "I'm concerned about the protest, but I'm also concerned about them leaving that space without some type of win. I don't know how this is going to play out. I'm not sure if he's going to be of value or not, but While they're cutting police budgets, they put $150,000 in his hands to be a street czar? That's the bigger question of the rationale, the intelligence of the Seattle City government. Next hour coming up.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
You've been listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.